Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We will begin with verse 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 18. All things are of the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of that reconciliation. How that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their offenses, and putting in us the word of that reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, for Christ, God, as it were, beseeching by us, we entreat for Christ, be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. The Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 5. We'll begin with verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said to the ancients, Thou shalt not kill, but whosoever shall kill shall be subject to the judgment. But I say unto you, that everyone that is lightly angry with his brother shall be subject to the judgment. But whosoever shall say to his brother, Rekha, that means stupid, worthless, good for nothing, shall be subject to be called before the Sanhedrin. But whosoever shall say, fool, or rabble, shall be subject to the penalty of the hell of fire. If, therefore, thou should offer thy gift at the altar, and there should remember that thy brother has something against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and first go and reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Make friends with thy adverse party quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest sometime the adverse party deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say to thee, thou shalt in no wise come out thence, till thou hast paid the last. And finally, James, the book of James. James chapter 5. We begin with verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Does anyone among you suffer evil? Let him pray. Is any happy? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call to him the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he be one who has committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your offenses to one another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. Let's have a further word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank thee again for inviting us to thy table. God truly has spread a table before our enemies. And thou hast called us to enjoy thy victories, all that thou hast accomplished on Calvary's cross. We thank thee for the precious blood that cleanses all our sins. We thank thee for the body, thy body that was broken for us, that we may not only be united to thee, but also to one another. And Lord, as we continue in thy presence, we expect thee to speak to us. We pray, Lord, that thou will quicken the words that we have just read to our hearts, that they become really spirit and life to us. Lord, we want thee to have everything in us. Thou art our Lord, and we do want to bow before thee. We ask thy blessing upon this time, that thou mayest be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Recently, the Lord has laid upon my heart this matter of reconciliation. The Bible says, God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. Now, this is the essence of the gospel. Because as we think of this matter of reconciliation, we all know that we are the offenders. We have grievously offended God. It is beyond even description. We sin against him, and sin is lawlessness. That is, we were against the law of God. We rebel against him. We are rebels, enemies of God. We offended him tremendously. We offended his holiness. We offended his righteousness. We realize that we are the offenders. And we should be the persons who will call to God and beg for forgiveness. But strangely, we find our hearts are so hard. Instead of begging God to forgive us, we continue to harden our hearts against him. And yet, God, whom we have offended, he humbled himself. He took the first step for reconciliation. Now we should be the people who took the first step. But we were so hardened, we didn't do it. And yet God, because of his love for us, even though we have offended him so greatly, he condescended himself to take the first step towards reconciliation. He made provisions for our reconciliation. He sent his only begotten Son into this world. Not only to declare to us that God loves us, He is looking for us, but also to provide the means for our reconciliation. Because God is righteous, and our offenses have to be settled. So He sent His beloved Son into this world to die for us on Calvary's cross in our stead for our sins, so that reconciliation was made possible. And then God beseeches us to be reconciled to Him. Brothers and sisters, as I think of that, it is beyond every human reasoning. That God should ask us to be reconciled to Him. There is such love behind it. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is changing from enmity to friendship. It is to be at peace. It is to be at one. God desires that we change from enmity against Him to fellowship with Him. He wants us to be at peace, at one with Him. And He did it. Now, brothers and sisters, because He has provided the means for reconciliation, so He is calling us, be reconciled to Him. Now, as you read the scripture, you never find in the scripture that God is reconciled to us. There is no need for God to be reconciled with us, because He has not offended us. He is the offended one. The scripture never says that God is reconciled to us. He always loves. He is not against us. Yes, He hates sin, the sin that we have committed. He is righteous. He has to judge our sins, our offenses. And yet in His heart, there is never a time that He hates us. He loves us all the time. God does not need to be reconciled to us. It is we who need to be reconciled to Him. So the scripture always said, be reconciled to God. We are the ones who need to be reconciled to Him. And thank God, when this gospel is being preached, we are touched by His love we begin to see our offenses. We repent. We confess. We accept His offer of reconciliation. And thank God we are being reconciled to Him. Our sins are forgiven. Offenses are forgiven. Our fellowship with God is being restored. And that is the blessing of the gospel that we have all experienced. Now, having experienced the blessing of being reconciled with God, we are in turn giving the commission to be ambassadors of God for the ministry of that reconciliation. We have known the value of that reconciliation. We have known how much it cost Him that we may be reconciled to Him. And because we have known reconciliation, we become ambassadors for Christ. We are beseeching, begging people that they also be reconciled to God. But brothers and sisters, if we want to fulfill our ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, we must daily live in that reconciliation. In other words, being reconciled to God, we need to continue on in that oneness, peace with God. We need to continue on in that fellowship, sweet fellowship with God. In our daily lives, there may be times that we have a controversy with God. Maybe we have sinned in some way, violated His law. Maybe we have displeased Him in some of our thoughts, our actions, our relationships, our reactions. Maybe the Lord has some request upon us, demand upon our lives, and yet we refuse to respond. We have a controversy with Him. Now it's almost unavoidable that in our daily lives, somehow, sometimes, we find ourselves at odds with God. We have a controversy with Him. We are not at one with Him. And brothers and sisters, when we are in such a situation, what should we do? Should we allow that to continue on? Can we do that? What we need to do is we need to settle our controversy with God. We need to repent. We need to confess. In 1 John chapter 1, we are told if we confess our sin, and that is to believers, if we confess our sin, God is righteous and faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, how we need the blood of the Lord Jesus every day. The closer you live with God, the greater you need the precious blood of the Lamb. We will never outgrow the need of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. How we need His cleansing every day, every moment of our life. How we need to yield to Him. To the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. That there will be no shadow, no cloud, no obstacle, no controversy. There will be peace, oneness with God. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need every day, every moment of our day. And I believe we all know that. First of all, in our lives, we need to daily live in that peace and oneness with our God. If there be any controversy, let it be settled. You know, when we come to the Lord's table is so precious. When we come to the Lord's table, if we have any controversy with God, settle it before we can take the bread and take the cup. Otherwise, we will drink and eat unworthy manner. Every controversy with God has to be settled before we come to the table. This is a time that helps us to have everything settled so that there will be uninterrupted fellowship between us and our Lord. Then, brothers and sisters, this method of reconciliation is more than just to be reconciled with God. It has to be carried out because the Scripture tells us very clearly that we, as the family of God, we need to be reconciled to one another. That is to say, within our heart, in our spirit, there should be no controversy between you and any brother and sister. There shall be no hate towards any brother or any sister. There should be peace. There should be forgiveness. There should be oneness in each one of our hearts as members of the family of God. How can we remain as a family if we are at odds with one another? If we still keep something in our heart against any brother or any sister, we need to be reconciled with one another. In Matthew chapter 18, we are told, woo to the world because of offenses. But it seems that offense is inevitable. We are human beings. Even though we are saved by grace, and grace is greater than our sin, even though God forgive us all our sins, our offenses, and yet, brothers and sisters, because of our weaknesses, we can offend our brothers and sisters. And we can be offended by our brothers and sisters. It seems that there is something almost inevitable. What should we do when we are faced with this kind of situation? First of all, you know, the word of God concerning the matter of offense is very, very severe. If your hand or your foot offends you, that is to say, to cause you to offend, what do you do? The Lord said, cut it off. It's better to enter into life with one arm, with one leg, than to go into partition with two arms and two legs. If your eye offends you, pluck out your eye. It is better to enter into the kingdom with one eye than into the fire with two eyes. Now, why is it that the Lord says such a thing? Because He considered this matter of offense is very, very serious. You remember the occasion? The disciples came to the Lord. They asked Him, who is the greater in the kingdom of the heavens? And the Lord took a child, put a child in the midst of these 12 grown-ups, and said, unless you repent and be converted like this little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of the heavens. If anyone shall humble himself as this little child, he shall be the greater in the kingdom of heaven. If you receive this child, you receive me. If you offend one of these little children, it is better, it is profitable for you to put a millstone upon your neck and be drowned into the depths of the sea. Brothers and sisters, that is the word of God. Now, of course, you cannot take this plucking out the eye and cutting off the arm literally, because as a matter of fact, in China, I knew a case that it was done. But it was mistaking the thought of God. What it really means here is, if there is offense, and you causes this offense, you have to be dealt with yourself very drastically and seriously. Do not allow this to continue on, because it is very serious before God. Deal with yourself so drastically. Cut off every opportunity for it to continue. And that's what you should do. Because then you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, how often we try to keep ourselves whole. We offend, and yet we will not repent. We keep up our pride. We do not deal drastically with the members of our body that cause us to offend people. So first of all, you'll find the Word of God is we need to deal drastically with ourselves on this matter of offense. May the Lord never allow us to be the one who offends. Allow our hand to offend, our left to offend, our eye to offend. We need to deal with ourselves drastically before God. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord said, "Do not murder." That is what the law said. But the law said, "I tell you, if anyone should be angry with his brother," and in some version, put on lightly. In other words, try to soften it up a little bit. If you be angry with your brother lightly, that is without a cause, then you will be judged. If you say to your brother, "Rekha, you are good for nothing. You are worthless. You cannot escape the judgment of the Sanhedrin." If you call your brother a fool, a rabble, you cannot escape the lake of fire. And then they continue to say, "When you come to offer your gift, and you begin to remember there is some brother who has something against you, it is because of your fault. You have offended him, and he holds something against you. When you remember that, what do? You leave the gift on the altar. You go and be reconciled to that brother." As long as there is opportunity, you are still on the way. Be reconciled. Settle the matter with him. Because if you do not, then the time comes when your brother will deliver you and you will be put into prison until every farthing is repaid. Now, brothers and sisters, sometimes I wonder, you know, when you read the scripture, there is a context there. Sometimes I wonder whether we can be angry with our brother or our sister. Well, the Bible said, "Be angry, but sin not." Now, that's not easy. Angry with sin. But can you be angry with a sinner? Especially a brother. if we are angry with our brother lightly, without a cause, or even with a cause, are we justified? Is that the way God deals with us? Is that brotherly love? In 1 John, it says, we hate any brother. We are in darkness. And I begin to wonder, what is our brother or sister in our eyes? Do we look down upon them? You are good for nothing. Do we judge them as rebel, as fool in our heart? And I wonder if that is what is meant by when you remember, when you're offering a gift and you remember a brother has something against you. Probably it's because you are angry with him lightly. Probably because you look down upon him, despise him as if he is nobody. A soul precious in the sight of God. And to you, he's worthless. A fool. Is that your judgment on your brother and sister? And if this is the case, if the Spirit of God will remind you that your brother has something hold against you, what will you do? Remember, at the altar, you are not offering a sacrifice. You are offering a gift. You know, when we come to the Lord's table, we do not offer a sin sacrifice. He is the sin offering. We offer up our gifts. But when you offer your gift to God, and the Holy Spirit reminds you, there is a brother or a sister holding something against you, and rightly, what do you do? Will the Lord receive your gift? You better leave the gift there and go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. Because we are all on the way to the judgment seat of Christ. And we do not know if there is the opportunity. If you don't do it right away, it may be too late. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be judged. Better settle it today than waiting for the Lord to settle it with you on that day. So, brothers and sisters, we who have been reconciled to God, we are given this ministry of reconciliation. We shall practice it. If the Holy Spirit shall remind us that we have offended our brothers or sisters, be reconciled to them before it is too late. Now, suppose we are being offended. Then what should we do? naturally you will say, well, if I'm being offended, then you who offend me should make the first move. I have no obligation to be reconciled with you. You have the obligation to come to me, confess, and then I will forgive you. But is this what the scripture says? Is this what God does? If God should take such an attitude, where will we be? Thank God. We offended Him. We will not even take the first step. But He took all the step from heaven to earth and to the cross. When our Lord Jesus was nailed on the cross, what hatred, what hostility. And yet He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did He wait until we see our sins? Wait until we recognize our fault? Wait until we repent? Until we confess? And then forgive us? No. He didn't even wait for our repentance. He forgave us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love is behind? And should we not do the same? If your brother sins against you, go. Reprove him. And if he repents, you gain your brother. How did you go? If you go full of vengeance, if you go to justify yourself, if you go with unforgiving spirit, you better not go. You won't get the result. Before you go, it is supposed that you have already forgiven the one who offends you. You do not go to reason with your brother to show his fault and show that you are right, to justify yourself. No. You do what God has done to you. You have already forgiven him. God has forgiven us so much. How can we hold anything against our brother or sister? How dare we? The Lord Jesus said in a parable, a servant owed the Lord the king 10,000. millions of dollars. There's no way for him to repay. Even selling him and selling his family, selling everything, he won't repay. Brothers, this is a picture of ourselves. We have owned God's soul, owned God so much beyond repay. Even if we are put in hell 10,000 years, repay. We beg for mercy. He forgives us. Then the servant came out forgiven, and he saw another fellow servant owe him 100 denarius. A few dollars. And he hold on to his neck and said, "Pay. If not, go to prison." Can we do that? Dare we do that? If we do, you know what happened. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Forgive our debts, our sins, as we forgive others." In other words, to a believer, our forgiveness before God is dependent on our forgiving. If we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. So that servant was put into prison until every penny is paid. Oh, brothers and sisters, how can we hold anything against any brother, any sister? May the Lord examine our hearts to see if in our heart we are still holding something against our brother or our sister. You know you cannot hold anything against God. But can you hold anything against your brother or sister? No matter how much they may have offended you, you forgive. You forgive. Brothers and sisters, we need the spirit of forgiving. You should not always remember what your brother or sister do to you, grudging over it, pondering over it. And in the beginning, it may be just a mustard seed. It becomes a big mountain. Nothing against your brother or sister. Now, that doesn't mean you do not hate sin. Doesn't mean you tolerate sin. If your brother or sister really have sinned, surely, sin is sin. But that doesn't mean you can hold anything against him. You are a sinner, forgiven. Your responsibility is to forgive whatever people may sin against you. That's your responsibility. This matter of sin will be dealt with by God. Who are you to be the judge? You are his brother, not his judge. Forgive him. And not only that, after you have forgiven him, you really love him. You do not want to see him in darkness. So you go and rebuke him But this rebuke is rebuke in love, not in hatred. Try to restore him. Your brother is in darkness. You are in light. So you walk in light. Now if you don't walk in light, you will be in darkness too. If you keep on unforgiving, you will be in darkness. Forgive. No matter what, forgive. That is what you need to do. And out of love, go the second mile. Try to restore him. If he hears you, he realizes his fault, he repents, he confesses, you gain your brother. Fellowship is restored. If he doesn't listen to your brother, to you, your love go another mile. Get one or two brothers. Go to that brother. Try to convince him. And if he doesn't, then tell the church. And the church will try to convince him. If he still does not see it, now what do you do? Listen carefully. To that brother, to you, he will be as a tax collector and a sinner. Brothers and sisters, if he sinned against you, you forgive, no matter what. Whether he confess or not, whether he repent or not, that's between him and the Lord. So far as you are concerned, you forgive. And your love will go to that brother. Try to restore him. If he continue on not to confess, not to repent, then what do you do? Remember, to you, not to all the brothers and sisters, to you, he is like a tax collector and a sinner. But a tax collector and a sinner, what does it mean? It means that your fellowship with him is hindered. But you still love him as a sinner, as a tax collector. You do not hate a sinner. You love him. You still try to help him. Now that is our attitude. Maybe you will ask, is repentance not the basis of forgiveness? Brothers and sisters, when did God forgive you? After you repent? Or before you repent? 2,000 years ago. When Christ was crucified, he said, Father, forgive them. So far as God is concerned, he holds nothing against anyone. He loves us. Now, he hates sin, yes. But he loves us to such an extent, he has made provision for us that we may be saved. But why is it that we have to repent and confess? Why? It is not because by repenting and confessing we earn God's forgiveness. Just like we say, you have to believe and you're saved. But believe is not earning that salvation. Salvation is grace. God has provided it, given to you. But believing is you receive it, so you can enjoy it. Brothers and sisters, repentance is important. If we sin, we need to repent. We need to confess. But to repent and to confess is that we who have sinned, who have offended, will receive the good of forgiveness. We may enjoy the joy of being forgiven, and we may be restored to fellowship. Brothers and sisters, it's for our good. And so far as the one we have offended, he has already forgiven us. Now, what does he get? He gained a brother. He gained a fellowship with his brother. That's what he gained. Now, if we do not repent and do not confess, what will happen? We will continue being in darkness. We will not enjoy the joy of being forgiven. As if we have not been forgiven. We cannot experience the forgiveness, and our fellowship cannot be restored. So, brothers and sisters, as I consider this matter before the Lord, I was in fear and how can we hold anything against any brother, any sister? No matter how grievously we have been offended, even if they do not repent, will we wait until they repent and forgive them? How long will you wait? If the Lord shall come, and you're still waiting, what will happen to you? The Lord said, if you do not forgive from your heart, he will not forgive you. The Lord have mercy upon us, brothers and sisters. In the family of God, there should be no controversy. There can be differences. We can have different opinions, different ideas, different standards, different thoughts, different interpretations. We can allow all these differences. You may see it this way, he may see it that way. That's all right. But not because of these differences we hold anything against one another. We will not look at each other. We will not talk to each other. We will not pray with each other. Brothers and sisters, it's serious. In the house of God, there should be no controversy, no animosity, no enmity against anyone. There should be the spirit of love, the spirit of forgiveness. All these differences, the Lord will work it out until we arrive at the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. But don't set yourself up as judge. If we judge, we will be judged. be reconciled with one another. You know, I think of this passage in James chapter 5. Now, of course, it is concerning a brother or sister who is sick. If anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil. And if he has sinned, his sin will be forgiven. And it says, therefore, confess to one another your offenses and pray for one another that you may be healed. I will borrow this principle. Now, as a matter of fact, strictly speaking, that case of a brother who is sick is because he is out of joint with the body. Therefore, he has to ask the elders of the church to come and have to be anointed with oil. In other words, to be restored to the body and thus be restored to health. But the principle is there. How we need to confess to one another. How we need to pray for one another. Now that brother, he may commit something to put him out of joint of the body of Christ. And therefore, he was disciplined by the Lord and got sick. Now, he needs to confess his sin, but the elders who pray over him, they need to confess too. Confess to one another. Why? Because if any member of the body is out of joint, every member of the body is responsible. That is body life. We are all responsible. If a brother sins, we are responsible. We should take care of him. We should warn him. We should look after him. We are all responsible. We need to confess to one another and pray for one another. The offended need to be prayed for just as the offending one. We will think that the offended doesn't need to be prayed for. No, the offended need to be prayed for too. You know, there's one thing. I feel there's much lack. And that is the other side of the trespass offering. You know, the trespass offering and the sin offering are different. Sin offering is once for all. Christ died for us as our sin offering. And because he died once for us, our sins are all forgiven. Trespass offering is over the daily lives. In your daily lives, you trespass. You offend. And what do you do? You find there are two sides. One side is towards God. Whenever we sin or offend any brother or sister, we offend God too. Why? Because God is his Father. So we need to offer trespass offering to God. But more than that, we need to make restitution. If we have taken anything from our brother or sister, we shall pay it back and add one fifth as the interest. Brothers and sisters, if we sin, confess before the Lord, and he will forgive us. We will enjoy his forgiveness. But if we have also sin against our brother or sister, or owe anything against our brother or sisters in love. It is not enough just to go to God and ask Him to forgive. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. Confess. Ask for forgiveness. That we can pray for one another and we be healed. May the Lord lead us into His truth. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for forgiving us. Even before we realize we have sinned against Thee. How we praise and thank Thee when we confess and repent, we enjoy Thy forgiveness and we are restored to Thy fellowship. Lord, we just pray that this be true in every day of our life, and we pray that it will also be true with all our brothers and sisters. Thou knowest. Lord, we ask that all the controversies, all the holding against any brothers and sisters, Lord, we ask that Thou will show us Thy love and Thy forgiveness, that we may from our heart forgive everyone and be forgiven, and teach us how to repent and confess and pray for one another, that we may be healed to the praise of Thy glory. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus and for His glory.